intentionally chose this scripture, which is well known, very common. You have heard from that scripture many times. Matthew 13 is a chapter of parables. And the parables are, some people think they are easy. That's why Jesus gave them, instructed them. But there is other reason why Jesus was speaking most of the time in parables. Matthew 13. And our text is from Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9. And the parable, you have heard the parable of swords. Mostly, when you have heard about this parables, most of the time we are focusing on the different types of soils in this parable. But I'm not going to focus on different soils. I'm going to focus on the one who sowed the seed. I've been involved in that ministry a long time, and I just came back recently, sowing lots of seed there and praying that God will bring a fruit out of that. Let us turn to that. And before we read God's word, let's again bow down our heads and hearts. Gracious Lord Jesus, we are thankful for this beautiful day, and especially your holy day you have set apart, as we read in your word even just before. Lord, we are now here in your presence to hear your word. Lord, speak us from heaven, that we may receive as we did yesterday the rain. And we want to receive the rain of your word, which never returns in vain. Our hearts are prepared to learn and to love your word and to love you and learn more about you. Your law is a counselor. I pray that we will be ruled by it, and it is our divine physician, that we will be healed by it. Lord, your law, your word is a schoolmaster, and I pray that we will be obedient to it. Lord, I pray. I'm to preach your word, holy and inerrant word. Lord, help me and bless that this life-changing word may change many lives, and especially ours. I pray in Christ's gracious name. Amen.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. Please pay close attention to God's holy and inerrant word. I would be using NASB, a slightly different version from you might be. But this is God's holy word. That day Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. And a large crowd gathered to him, so he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprung up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and shook them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some of 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And he who has ears, let him hear." You have read many times this parable. You have heard in Sabbath school many times. You learned the children's when you were a child. Matthew chapter 13 is a theologically rich chapter, as here Jesus gives seven parables to describe the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God. And you may have noticed that a kingdom of God never appears in Matthew's gospel, the word phrase, but kingdom of heaven. There's a reason why there's no kingdom of heaven, and why Matthew is using kingdom of heaven and not kingdom of God. In these parables of kingdom, two aspects of kingdoms are very prominent. First, the kingdom of God is a mixture of good and bad. It includes false believers as well as genuine believers, false doctrines as well as true doctrines, hypocrite worship as well as true worship. And secondly, the second aspect in kingdom parable is, being Jesus' followers, we must work hard, seeking and helping men to enter into kingdom. That's what they are teaching us. Because we have received the mysteries of God in the person of Jesus Christ, we have a responsibility, and we are responsible for teaching the kingdom of gospel. The parable of sword, the one we just read there, one of the most well-known parables, as I mentioned there. But it is designed to teach us the truth that the gospel will come to every kind of person, as you are doing door-to-door evangelism right now. So it will come to every kind of person, but only those who are given spiritual ears and eyes and hearts will receive and produce fruit to the glory of God. It will go everywhere. That's how you go. You don't know. And we don't know. And Jesus explains this parable in verses 18 through 23. The seed represents the gospel. The soils represent the hearts of hearers. And the results of sowing represents the effects of the Gospels. Now the main thrust of our passage resolves around, as I mentioned, is resolves around the types of soil and what is it produced by each. But in this morning, in this message, I want to focus on the sower, not the soil, the one who does the work. I want to look at this person who takes his seed, goes into his field, and begins to sow. I grew up in that context. Third generation of farming. My great-grandfather farmer, my father, and I'm not a farmer, but I do some gardening in my backyard. Still, I love that. As we have read this, I believe that there is an encouragement, challenge and help for all of us, those are commanded to do the same work, to be the sower of the gospel. Let us take a few minutes today to look at together at that thought, sowing the gospel seed. As usual, I have three points or three outlines this morning. The first comes from the verse 3, the sower's mission for the seed. The sower, the one who does his mission for the seed. Second point would be based on verses 4 and 8, sower's method of sowing. And the third one, based on verses 4 through 9, the sower's measure of success. All these, let's move on. Verse 3 says, "Behold, the sower went out to sow." He went out to sow. What was the intention of this person? What was the intentions of sower when he went out with his seed? The sower has only one desire as he enters his field, to get his seed into the soil. That was his intention. He was carrying his, I have seen my dad carrying seed, and his intention was, as soon as possible, get into the soil. He wants to plant his crop or seed so that he can reap a harvest at a proper person. And you know, the kingdom comes when the soil and the seed get together. The seed is the word of God proclaimed by people of God, not only preachers, but everyone. And the kingdom begins to come in a life when the soil received the seed of the word. Then it begins to germinate and shoot. You have seen all that, experienced that. I did every year, even this year. My garden is not really doing very well this year because I was late, but I've seen that. I planted seed, grew up, germinated, and it should. I can see lots of okras now, taller than me. I would just remind this morning to all of you that God did not give us the gospel seed. We have a lot here. How many versions of the Bible do you have here in your house? Many different. I have only one. It's handwritten there in Pakistan. God did not give us the seed just to save it. He did not give us the gospel seed so that we could hoard it, keep it to ourselves and brag about the blessing we have. Oh wow, look how many translations or how many Bibles we have. How much we have. And he did not give us the seed so that we might allow it to rot in the barn. Like Prophet Haggai said in chapter 2 verse 9, is the seed still in the barn? Think about that. Is it rotting there? In your house, in your church, in your even in your heart, in your life, in your family. God's mandate to his people is to take the seed of the gospel into the field of the world and sow it for his glory. We are promised to share the gospel that in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the world. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, even Christ, the heavenly sower, went forth to sow. Even he took the gospel seed and he went out to sow. He left his home of security and peace. He left the glory that he had with the Father from eternity. And he left his position or throne upon the throne of the universe he was sitting. He left that. He went forth to suffer, tempted by men, went forth to be to solitude, to do what? To sow in tears, and to water with his blood the seed of life for the lost world. His people in like manner must go forth to sow. We are called to become sowers of the seed of the gospel. Is there a burden upon your heart to get that gospel seed into the field of the world where all the lost world people are? If there is, then I would urge you and I would ask you that honor it and go and sow it. We saw that the mission of the sower was only mission of the sower was to go and plant the seed. The sower has only one desire as he enters his field, to get his seed into the soil. That leads us to our second point in verses 4 and 8. The sower's method of sowing. You got the seed. You have plenty of seed, I believe. I sometimes envy of that. I wish we could have all those good books, all that translated or written in Pakistan. But God is doing. We published this year the historic, I said, not only in Reformation history, but human history, first time we published the Westminster Standards. We have lots of seed, but our desire should be get it to the field. It is right time. Even rained last night, yesterday. Ready, fields are ready. the source method, how he did it. As you read these verses 4 through 8, you see the sower cast his seed into the field. I have seen my dad doing that, as I told. As he does, he casts the seed everywhere. Not only his, I do on my favorite parts of the field. He does everywhere. He does not sow the seed in the best or favorite parts of the field. He broadcasts it far and wide. He wants to make sure that every square inch of his field has been blanketed by the seed. Everywhere. I know. Every part of seed is not the same. I've seen that. Even in my small, tiny garden. Some is a really good soil and some parts of there is not a good soil. But he does. He makes sure that seed is everywhere. He wants a big harvest. That is the one of the reasons. He wants a big harvest. So he casts the seed everywhere. Such should be the method of our sowing as well. In this regard, the commands of Lord's commissions are clear in four different ways, showing us the method of sowing in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. In that great commission, Jesus told us we are to go. We are to go, therefore, and make disciples. First of all, we are to go. Where are we to go? And the Bible tells us clearly, into all the world or to all the creation. That's what you are doing. Yeah, I was talking, if you go to Korea, you will see people, exactly identical, same people. You will say, oh, I met this person this morning here and is there. But when you come to America, there are all kinds of, all the nation has come, even including myself. This is a world like that. We don't have to go travel and like you don't need a air ticket to go anywhere. Of course, we send missionary and I go there and other people go there. Mission is in your backyard. So we are to go into the world. And God is bringing people here. Do you know how many people came from Afghanistan just in the last couple days, a couple weeks? I believe 70,000 or 70,000 people been brought by American Army. I think so. That's what I heard. Wow. So we have a great responsibility. God is bringing the field to us, not that are we going to field. But still we have to go. Still we have to go. And second thing we learn from Great Commission, we are to tell. Mark 16 verse 15 says, preach or teach. What are we to teach or tell or preach? To who? To the lost world. Are we to brag and boast about our church? I am really impressed by today to see this really big development here. Last time I was in other place. It's beautiful here. Are we only to brag about, wow, we got more shares, or we got a beautiful place? It's good. Praise God for that. I was so excited to see that. I even saw your multi-purpose room. Nice. Wonderful. No, we are not only to boast or brag about our church, our standards even, or our preachers. No, not at all. We are to tell a lost world and dying world about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for sinners, what he has done for us, what he has done for me. We are to go into the world and we are to share the gospel, sow the seed. But what is the gospel message? What is that gospel seed? First, we are to tell them. What is our message? What should be? We are to tell them what Jesus has done for sinners. What he has done for sinners. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 3 and 4. That is actually gospel definition. For Paul says, for I have handed down to you as of the first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scripture. You don't need to learn systematic theology or memorize the Burkhoff's big systematic theology. This verse you should. Only this verse. This is gospel. Clear picture and definition of gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to scripture. That's simple gospel message. Secondly, what we are to do? We are to tell them what Jesus did for our sins, but what Jesus have done personally for me. Again, we see the testimony of Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was previously a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. Yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am the foremost. Do you see here, Paul, what he's saying? He's telling what Christ has done for the world, but especially what he has done for me. So we are to share our own testimony. Yeah, I always share what Christ has done for me. 22 years ago, I was worshiping Mary, though I was not going to church every week because there wasn't any worship service. But I was doing every morning worshiping Mary. For how many years? 30 years. And Christ brought me to this light, the light of the gospel. That's what we are to tell others. We are to go, we are to tell, and we are to tell everybody. We are to go, we are to tell, and we are to tell everybody. Mark 16 verse 70 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. We need to make sure that everyone in our circles of our lives hears the gospel from our lips. It doesn't matter who they are, what they do for a living. Doesn't matter. And where they live. And what color their skin is. No. We are to go and tell the gospel. God brought all kinds of people here in America. If they are living, just think about that. If they are living, breathing human being, then they need to hear the gospel. And it is our duty to tell them what Christ has done for us. Now, some folks never witness because they are always waiting on the Holy Spirit to move them that they may go and tell this gospel. Brothers and sisters in Christ, he already has. When Christ said, go, he was talking to you. He was talking to me. Go, and we are to go. We are to go. We are to tell, and we are to tell everybody. And fourthly, we are to be involved in the going and telling, all of us, not only our leaders or elders or preachers, but we are to go. I think it's a good opportunity for you. It is hard. I have seen it is very hard for street evangelism in Pakistan. You can be beaten. You can be killed. But it's a good opportunity that your church is asking you to go and come and join on Wednesday or Saturday to share the gospel, door-to-door gospel. Fourthly, we are to be involved in the going and telling. And he said to them, scripture says, he said to them, Jesus said to them, not only to those 12 people, not only to Peter or Matthew or any just one single disciple, but he told them, he said to them, go therefore. So he's talking to all of us as well. The gospel is the message that can be shared by children, adults, and anyone in between. It is a simple thing. It is not a complicated thing. And you have it in your own language, by the way. And many different translations. If you do not understand the King James Version, use NIV. Use anything. It isn't just for preachers, as I said, or evangelists or missionaries, but it is for, we are commanded to share the gospel. Even children. If you have been saved, then you have a message to share. Think about that. If you are saved, you have a message to share. Remember, a sheep produces what? Sheep. That's what we expect. We had sheep. That's what we are, disciples of Christ. And we are called sheep who listen to his voice and follow him. And Christ is commanding us to share the gospel. I think that's the level of the harvest we receive. Will correspond directly to the amount of seed we have sown into the field. If you just plant one seed, you will get multiple seeds, but in a big field. But if you have covered every corner, you can expect a big harvest as well. Do you want that your church grow? Do you want all the seats be filled? Or even added more chairs? Or extended? Then go and sow. That's simple. Isn't that? That is simple. Do you want your church grow? Then go and sow. Do you want to see people saved? More than that. Not only your church grow. Not only my church grow. Numerically. Do you want that people be saved? Then go and sow. Do you want to be involved in your father's kingdom work? I remember my son Isaiah once said about me, I asked him, oh, Isaiah, let's go do some work. He said, one day he said, Papa, you're not a good farmer. I'm the best farmer. Yeah. Do you want to work in your father's kingdom? Then sow the gospel seed everywhere, in all kinds of soils, and he will give the increase. That was the simple method of him. That was a simple method of sowing. He just went and he did sow. All the seed was given to him. He went everywhere. And thirdly, verses 4 through 9, the sower's measure of success. Some people will see. He was not a successful sower. He was not a successful farmer. As we read this parable, it becomes very clear that this sower lost some of his seed. I would say he lost a lot of seed. Some of it fell on a soil that had been unprepared, and that seed produced no fruit at all. Since that is true, do you think that sower was failure because he lost a lot of seed? I don't think so. He was not failure. He was successful in his work because he fulfilled his mandate. If you just go and sow, then you can call it success, because that you are commanded. You are not responsible to bring fruit, and you cannot produce fruit.
Right.
We cannot do that. He was successful in his work. His mandate or mission was to sow the seed, and that's what he did. He had no control over soil, or he had no control over the amount of the fruit each plant could produce. I don't know how it will go. I just planted a tree there. Looks like one tree is going well, the other tree is withering. I don't have control over that. The only plan I have is to take it back to Home Depot and get my money back. That's all I can do that. Or bring another plant and plant again and wait for that, how it goes. He had no control. We have no control over any soil, and this sower also had no control. He was successful because of two things or two truths. First thing is he sowed all his seed. He didn't keep anything to himself. What was given, he just planted that. Secondly, he was successful because he sowed all his field. Not only he planted all the seed, but he went everywhere. All the field he was given. As a sower of the gospel seed, you and I are not responsible for the kind of soil our seed falls into. We are not responsible. We are to just go and plant and sow. We cannot even judge the condition of the soil because we cannot see into the hearts of people. That's why in Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 7 says, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected," it's talking about Saul, "rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart." We don't know. Three of the four soils in this parable looked good to the surface. That's why he was planting there. They looked good to the surface. There was a wayside soil, stony soil, and thorny soil. The only difference between these types of soil was fruit. Sure, we may cast our seeds into soil that is unprepared, but we are to cast that seed and leave the harvest into God's hand. Just we are to sow. After all, He, God Himself, is the Lord of the harvest, Matthew 9:38. We have sowed the gospel seed into the field, and when we have done our work, it is God's in God's hand. We have done that we have been commanded to do, and we can consider our work successful. We can thank God that we have fulfilled our duties. Again, the question is, what if we never lead a soul to Jesus personally? Some people say, "Oh, nobody came. I've been working for a long time. I have done that much, but never saw any fruit." What if we never lead any person to Jesus Christ personally? I really think some people are sower who sow the seed, and some water, and which has been sown, and other harvest. I've been doing last 20 years. I never thought I will see any fruit, maybe in my own life. But thank God, I have seen a lot already. But I still think there's much more will be even after me. So we are not to be worry about that. From time to time, you may get to sow. Sometimes you're watering, and sometimes you are harvesting. Our duty is not to worry about over any fruit or results. Our duty is to get out into the field and sow the seed. God never called you to be a soul winner. I think that's a very, very famous phrase, or soul winner. He never called you to be a soul winner. But He has called you to sow the gospel seed. That is our duty. And what potential implications we can draw out from our study today. I'm thinking of a couple of them. Always be ready to sow the seed of gospel. Always. Remember that there will never be a harvest unless the seed is actually sown into the ground. And I've seen personally this year. Every year I plant, it's called bitter melon. I don't know, maybe you have somewhere. I love that. We cook with the meat. It's very nice. We kept the seed, but my wife has secretly, or I don't know where she has put, and we cannot find those. And sometimes I could bring from Pakistan, but no, we didn't have seed, and we didn't plant this year. So we do not have bitter melon this year. I have planted some other things, but we don't have bitter melon this year. So remember that there will never be harvest unless the seed is actually sown into the ground. That's God's method, or God's plan. The farmer can have the most fertile soil. I like Kansas. Kansas is good. People say this is a good fertile land, but compared to Punjab, my area, sometimes people say Kansas is flat. I don't think so. Punjab is the flattest, like this floor. Even farmers have the most fertile ground, most fertile soil, and the best seed from the best companies and the best intentions. He has the best soil, best seeds, and best intention, the best farmer like my son. But if he never actually gets out into the field and sow the seed, no crop will ever be produced. That's why always be ready to sow the seed of the gospel. Secondly, the second implication, know that the Satan is working against you. Satan is working against you. The sower probably knew that there will be many obstacles that were against the seed, birds, hostile conditions, and scorching sand, and thorns, and many others. He knew that. And we should also know that. If we have ever done any sort of planting, or even just a little garden, backyard garden, I think everyone, most of them, maybe you have done that. I'm not the only one here. We have seen exactly the same. I was in Pakistan in March and April. And you know, when I came, in just 6 weeks, my garden was covered with all kinds of weeds. Just very short time. It was covered with the weeds. Satan will do anything and everything he can keep the word of God being firmly planted and established and growing. That is his strategy. He's working against you. But our job is not to worry about Satan's schemes, but obey the Lord's commandment to sow the seed. Thirdly, different people are going to respond to the gospel different ways. Different people. 2 years ago, I preached a sermon, as I mentioned in a presentation, from the rooftop. I cannot go here and preach, but in Karachi I did. The guy who 3 years ago who invited me to Karachi, Mr. Thomas, he was there. There was a small group of people there. And I preached on the greatness of God's grace from Ezekiel chapter 14. And Karachi, and there was a group of people heard that it, but only one person responded. Only one person responded. His name is Daud. He's our ruling elder right now there. He's leading 35 people there. The first person who invited me in 2016, even he was there, who wanted me to come, who loved my books, but he did not respond. He has gone different way. Different peoples are going to respond to the gospel in different ways. Now that one seed has produced in Karachi, only doubt, much fruit has come from that already. And we have one new mission church there, two mission churches, and one organized church, and one fellowship. The first man, as I mentioned, who contacted, he has gone different ways. Just remember, different peoples are going to respond different ways. Fourthly, be patient and don't lose hope. be patient and don't lose hope. The sword's success in the grand scheme wasn't that great. He planted a lot, covered a whole his field, only one fourth. The fact of the matter is that the sword did not exactly have great success in the regard of statistics of his sowing. How much seed he sowed? 100%. Whatever he had, how much he got? It was very little. He sowed in 4 different types of soil, and only 1 out of 4 brought any sort of meaningful harvest. So do not lose heart. Just fulfill your mandate, go and sow. I would say to you that you can sit here in a fine, nice building, cozy chairs, and we can preach the gospel and share and help and encourage each other. That's good. We should do that. We can gather here and pray for sinners in this building. We can pray for them. We're sitting here, maybe constantly, 24 hours, maybe morning, evening. We can do that. That's good. That would be okay. But that's not enough. We can have the precious word of God in our hands and in our hearts, but until we actually go into the world and tell the lost and dying sinners about Jesus Christ, we will never see a harvest. We might see one here and there saved by God's grace in the church, but we will never see multitudes come to Jesus Christ until we go and where we are. So therefore, be patient and do not lose heart. Let me conclude with our Lord's words in John chapter 4, verse 35. Listen carefully and pay attention. Jesus said, "Do you not say there are still 4 months, and then comes the harvest? Behold, I tell you, raise your eyes and observe the fields, that they are white for harvest." God may bless you to be his great servant and sow the seed. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for placing the gospel's precious gospel seed into our hands and saving us that we may be your humble servants and farmer to plant the gospel seed into the lost field of this world. Lord, our pockets are overflowing with the redemptive seed of the gospel. Bless us with and courage and spirit as your people. Help us to become Christ-like servants. Lord, open doors for the proclaiming the mystery of Christ and returning his return. Enable us, Lord Jesus, that we may speak your word to non-believers with great boldness. And when we go to sow, Lord, give people a noble and good heart like the good soil. Lord, bless this, especially this congregation, as they are trying to reach out the people surrounding this area. Bless their service of sowing. In Christ's merciful name I ask. Amen.